Welcome to the Pivotal Decisions Podcast, where we know that the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow. I'm your host, Stan Paris, and I'm grateful that you are tuning in to the podcast. And if you find the podcast valuable, I would like to ask that you would share it with your family and your friends. Spreading the word about Pivotal Decisions is a great blessing to me. One way that you can help with the podcast, if you will subscribe to the YouTube channel, Pivotal Decisions, there you will find all of the podcast content and more. Since we are all created in the image of God, we are all social beings. We were created with the need to be in community and fellowship with God and with other people. That's how God made us. Research from Brigham Young University shows the devastating impact of isolation and loneliness. This is a somewhat famous study that has made the rounds recently. The association between loneliness and risk for mortality among young populations is actually greater than among older populations. Although older people are more likely to be lonely and face a higher mortality risk, loneliness and social isolation better predict premature death among populations younger than 65 years. The research indicates that the heightened risk of mortality from loneliness is in the same category as smoking 15 cigarettes a day and being an alcoholic. Cigna, a global health service company, based some research on the UCLA Loneliness Scale, which is an instrument that measures and assesses subjective feelings of loneliness, as well as social isolation, found four significant patterns related to feelings of loneliness and social isolation from a survey of more than 20,000 U.S. adults 18 years old and older. Nearly half of the respondents reported feeling alone, occasionally or continuously, or some, nearly half, felt completely left out of any kind of relationship. One in four rarely or never feel as if there are people who truly understand them. Two in five feel that their relationships are inconsequential and that they are isolated from others. One in five report they rarely or never feel close to other people, and that there is anyone they can talk to. Not only are we at the highest recorded rate of living alone across the entire century, but we're at the highest recorded rates ever on the planet, said Tim Smith, co-author of the study. With loneliness on the rise, we are predicting a possible loneliness epidemic in the future. Loneliness and isolation are at an epidemic proportion. Even though it's so odd, even though we have so much technology that is supposed to keep us all better connected. At our fingertips, we have all kinds of technology that allows us to not just call someone, but we can text them. We have social media avenues to connect with one another, to share our lives with everybody so they can see what we had for dinner last night and where we are on our vacation, and that our kids graduated from kindergarten and they are the smartest kids ever. We have all of this technology right at our fingertips to stay connected, and yet we are dealing with a loneliness epidemic. Our technology has made it easier than ever, you see, to avoid human contact. The technology has not connected us in deeper relationship, but the technology has made it easier to avoid human contact. Look at the average family. We have our own cars. You know, there was a time where there was the family car. Everybody rode together where they went. Now, even going to church on Sunday, it's like the entire family drives their own cars to get there. The mom drives, the dad drives, the kids drive. We have our own cars. We have our own rooms. Rarely, when I was a kid, most of the time, kids shared rooms. We have our own rooms. We have our own phones. You remember the days when your family had one phone? It was hanging in the kitchen. And if you wanted to talk to somebody, you stood in the kitchen, you'd talk to them on the phone. Now, everybody has their own phone. We have our own computers, our own TVs. Parents, I urge you to never put a TV in your kid's room. And if they have one now, take it out today. Take out your kid's TV. Don't let them sit in their room and play video games and watch TV. Parents, I urge you to wait as long as possible to give your kids a phone. I would suggest no earlier than 16 years old. I know there'll be a rebellion. You will hear your kids say, I'm the only kid. Do you hate me? Do you not love me? I'm telling you this because I care about you. Wait as long as possible to give your kid a phone. And I would wait even longer for them to be on social media. Social media is corrupting your child's mind. And if you give your kid a phone at 16 years old, then I would set some time when the phone has to be off. For instance, you should say at 8 o'clock, the phones go off and you take the phone and put them up. And then you can give them back tomorrow. Put them away until the next day. You will thank me if you will do this. Down the road, yes, your kids will rebel. And yes, they will be upset. But they will get over it. And their minds will be much healthier if you will do this. This comes from Tech Jury. Most mobile phone users check their phones 63 times a day. 63 times a day. Americans spend an average screen time of 5.4 hours on their phones every single day. Social media is responsible for 2 hours and 24 minutes of global internet time spent online by an average user every day. So the average person in the entire world is on social media 2 hours and 24 minutes. 13% of millennials spend 12 hours on their phones a day, and baby boomers spend 5 hours using their phones. We have to get off the phones. Turn off the news. Start doing things that's going to help you have a healthy mind. When you look around our nation, one of the biggest problems we have is mental health. We have a mental health crisis in America, especially in our young people. You see this in elementary school and middle school and high school and college, a mental health problem. It is a crisis. And a lot of that can be tied back to technology. One of the issues that we have because of technology and other issues is the issue of loneliness. And today, just for a minute, I want to talk to you about how to deal with loneliness. Watermark Community Church had a blog titled How to Be Faithful in Loneliness. Here's some things they say you should do. One, realize your worth. It's tempting to believe some lies when you feel lonely. One lie you'll believe is you are unworthy to be loved. The enemy will convince you that you are unworthy to be loved at all. You'll also be tempted to believe you will never be enough. But God's word proves that neither of those things are true. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 that God himself has chosen you in Christ. The psalmist said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And in fact, Jesus values you so much that he paid the price of death on a cross to redeem your life. That's how valuable you are to God. In your loneliness, you must focus your mind on what you know is true. And what we know is true is that you are valuable to God. So valuable, his son died for you on the cross. He loves you with an unconditional, everlasting love. And you experience the full extent of that love through his son, Jesus Christ. And so you must, in your loneliness, realize your worth. Second, you have to learn to trust God with your circumstances. Loneliness comes in a lot of different forms, they write. You've all experienced this, that you can be in a room with 1,000 people and still feel lonely. You can be in a room filled with other Christians, like church, and feel lonely. Loneliness is not reserved for just introverted single people. You can be married and feel painfully alone. Changing your relationship status does not cure your loneliness. And especially if you just settle for the wrong person because you're lonely, that does nothing but compound the problem. It's like having a baby when you're having marital problems. And you think if we just have a baby, that will fix our problems. When in reality, if you have marital problems, having a child just compounds the problem. God works in all seasons of our lives, including the lonely seasons. Loneliness is a spiritual issue that comes to all of us. And some days in life, we are on the mountaintops, and some days we're in the valley of loneliness. And that's why we, in those moments, we must trust God with our circumstances. Elizabeth Elliot, a missionary who was twice widowed, no stranger to loneliness, said that loneliness was a cause for joy because it called her to prayer and encouraged her to draw closer to Christ. Her joy came not from a change in her circumstances, but a change in her perspective, they write. You have to trust God with your circumstances. You're not going to see how God's working this out. You're not going to feel great. You might not see anything change in your life. But your perspective must be that I'm going to trust God. In these circumstances, in my loneliness, I will trust God. Number three, they talk about avoiding traps. There is a danger in being alone. It makes it easier for us to give in to temptation and to seek unhealthy coping mechanisms and to make unwise decisions. Some of the most foolish decisions and unwise decisions we make happen in isolation. The pain of loneliness, you see, will cause the temptation to be so real in our life that we will seek out a temporary relief. But most of the time, the temporary relief makes the problem worse. We can scroll our phone, just consistently scroll through the phone, trying to deal with our loneliness. It becomes a habit. We maybe indulge in some type of addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it is. But we indulge in that addiction to find temporary relief. We can eat food. A lot of people in their loneliness eat food, and it becomes an addictive habit to overeat and to eat bad food to try to find temporary relief, to find comfort. Some people try to fill that emptiness in their life, that void that the loneliness has caused, by pursuing unhealthy relationships. And when you pursue unhealthy relationships, it keeps you away from the healthy relationships. You have to avoid these traps. Here's how you can do that. David Jeremiah says that we must allow God's word to fill our hearts and mind. When you experience loneliness as a Christian, ask God to speak to you. He will guide you if you study his word. So you search out his word for passages that reassure you when you're lonely. Like Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. These are promises from God in the Scripture that you must turn your mind to in the lonely seasons. I mean, we need them every day, but especially in the lonely seasons of life, to avoid the traps that will come, you must allow God's word to fill your heart and your mind. Next, they write about doing your part. They say that sometimes loneliness is a choice, or at least it is partially influenced by the choices you make. For example, you might be lonely because it feels like nobody truly knows you or understands you. Well, take some time to ask yourself why that is the case. Are you afraid of being known? Are you believing the lie that if people knew the real you, they wouldn't like you? Are you letting the disappointments of past friendships keep you from making new ones? Regardless of what the obstacle is, if you want to be known, you have to trust God enough to allow others to get to know you. Let me tell you where you can get started. You must seek out Christian community. Jeremiah says you must activate your network of Christian friends, God's saints. He says, did you know that every time the word saint appears in the Bible, it appears in the plural because saints are not left in isolation? We are the saints of God, and we come together for mutual support and encouragement. Moments of being alone may not be a choice, but lingering in the house of loneliness is your decision. God has given us his Son, he has given us his word, and he's given us his people. He has put us into the community of believers called the church. Every Christ follower should be a member of a local church, where members welcome one another, love one another, serve one another. If you're alone because of conflict that has broken a relationship, do your part to resolve that conflict. Now, I know that it takes two. You can't always fix it yourself, but do what you can as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone. You might be in a situation where you need to forgive someone that has abandoned you and left you alone. Or you might need to ask for forgiveness for your actions that contributed to a broken relationship. Either way, as believers, if you are a Christian, we are required to do our part to restore relationships, to be ministers of reconciliation, to be peacemakers. And so you must do your part. And then they say, know that you are not alone. Being alone is not always a bad thing. Jesus often chose to be alone so that he could focus on important things like praying to God the Father. And even in that moment, Jesus was not truly alone. He was spending time with God the Father. And the same can be true for us. If you are saved, born again Christian, you are never alone. Don't let the enemy convince you that you are alone. God in Christ is always with you. As a believer in Christ, God is always with you. When you're doing his work, according to Matthew 28, when you are out serving God, he is with you to the ends of the earth. He is close to those who are brokenhearted in Christ. The psalmist said that God is the hearer of our prayers. That's his title. That's his nature. That's who he is. He hears our prayers. Human relationships are important. There's no doubt about it. We need each other. God made us that way to be social beings. But none of those human relationships will fully satisfy your heart. There is only one who's always faithful, and there's only one who will truly and fully satisfy your heart. And when you trust in Christ, the loneliness you feel in this world is only temporary. One day we will enjoy the presence and peace of God forever and ever. And so my hope is that you have a relationship with Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Thank you for joining me today. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with others. That would be a great blessing. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pivotal Decisions podcast for more insightful discussions. And until next time, remember, the decisions you make today determine your tomorrow.